Not. We do have some loaners in the back that you're welcome to get. One of the ushers could help you find one if you would like to have one. I want to thank Pastor for giving me the opportunity. I never take the opportunity to preach lightly. I believe that it is a privilege and an honor, and I definitely spend time studying and preparing, and I find that God usually gives me a topic or a message usually before Pastor asks. It always seems like that something will pop up, and then sometime later he'll say, "Hey, can you preach on such and such a day?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I think I know what God wants me to preach." So I feel that normally God gives me the message that he would have for us for the day and the hour. And I do think there's been some things the last few weeks that are all tying together in my life personally that went along with our Sunday school lesson and even this sermon. And I'll maybe bring it back later and tie it all back together. But definitely God's working and giving me things for my own life that I've been able to apply. If you have your Bible, I would like you to turn to the book of James in chapter 4, and we're going to mark that at this point in time, and we're going to get to that in a little bit. Once you find James chapter 4 and mark that, if you would turn to the book of Genesis chapter 2, we're going to start in Genesis, and we're going to take a little look to just start out with God's plan for Adam in the garden. You know, what if we just kind of want to look at what God originally intended for Adam in the garden, and then we're going to take a little journey and we'll come back around to it. But I think it'll be a blessing. I want to say, too, that the message that I have this morning, it could be taken as a little depressing and discouragement if you take it the wrong way. And it's not intended to be that. It's intended to be an encouraging message. It's intended to be a motivating message, and one that I hope that you'll take it in that manner, and by the end of the service, you'll be able to take it and say, "Yes, I see what God wants me to do." And I truly believe that God's got something for each of us to do if we still have a breath, if we're still on this side of the grass, as some people like to say. God's got something for us. And so hopefully by the end of the day, you'll say, "Yes, I see God still has work for me to do, or he's still got opportunities for me." I'm going to hold off giving you my title for a little bit. I want to get through some of the introductory, and when I get a page or two into the notes, I'll share my title with you because I think it'll help tie it all together. But I've heard the pages quit rustling, so I assume everybody is at Genesis chapter 2. If you're able and willing for honoring the Word of God, if you'd stand with me, we're going to just read a few verses and comment on a few of them while we read, and then we'll pray and let you be seated. So starting with Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden that thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.'" And then chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day," skipping down to verse 9, "and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, 'Where art thou?'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the opportunity to gather around your word with the people of God, to be able to learn what you would have for each of us, Lord God. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would just hide me behind your cross. I pray that you'd calm my nerves. I pray that you would give me each word to speak. Lord, and I pray that your message would go out with power. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I just want to quickly go back and point out just a couple things. And as we're looking at this, I want to consider what was God's intention for Adam in the garden. So if you look at it, first of all, in verse 7 there, we saw that God formed man, right? God created man. And we know from the scriptures that God created man in his image, in God's image. And so God created man. Well, what was the purpose of God creating man? And what did he have for man? So we see in verse 15, we see that God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden, notice, to dress it and to keep it. See, he gave man, he didn't just create man and place him in this garden and then just say, you know, just lay around and relax all day long. No, he gave him a purpose. He said, you're to keep the garden, you're to till it. And if we were to read through the scriptures, we would see that God even had Adam name all of the animals. So God gave Adam this responsibility, gave him a work to do. And then we see in verses 16 and 17, we see that God gave Adam a commandment. He gave him something that he was not supposed to do, right? Remember, he said, you can eat of any tree of the garden except one. He said, but verse 17 says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, I was thinking about it. It's like, you know, why did God give them this one tree not to eat of? Well, if you stop and think about it, if the Garden of Eden was unrestricted, then how would Adam be able to prove that he was going to follow God and God's commandment? I mean, if there was no opportunity to do wrong, if there was no opportunity to go against God's word, then Adam really doesn't know whether or not he's really going to obey God or not, right? So God gave Adam, and of course Eve, one commandment, said, don't eat of that tree. And it gave Adam the opportunity, and Eve the opportunity, to show God that they would follow him and listen to him and obey his commands. And then we also see through verses 8 and 9 of chapter 3 that we see that, now obviously this was, if you're familiar with the story in Adam and Eve, this is actually after Adam and Eve sinned, after they ate of the forbidden fruit, after they disobeyed God. But what I wanted to point out here was that God came down to the Garden of Eden to commune with Adam, right? Because again, as we think about why did God create Adam and Eve? Well, one of the reasons was he created them because he wanted to have fellowship with them. He wanted to commune with them. He wanted to have somebody that would love him and worship him. There's a spot in the scriptures where it says that, and I think we read it later on, that God made all things for his pleasure. God made man to please him. Now, I wanted to lay the groundwork of this to just kind of think a little bit about what God's intent for Adam was. Now, we're gonna come back around to that, but I got to kind of take a little journey with you. So, I want to think a little bit about time. And I know, so I'm almost 50, not quite there yet. And one of the things that I've noticed, and I've heard people say this for years, the older you get, the faster time goes. And, you know, when I was younger, I'm like, yeah, right. But the older I get, it's like, yeah, that's so true. It's like, it just seems like, I mean, can you believe it's over halfway through July already? I mean, this year's over half over already. It seems like it just started. And even last year with COVID, where everything seemed to slow down, I mean, 2020 went by so fast, it's like, where did it go? And I was thinking about just thinking back to my childhood days, and I was thinking back to, I remember this one day, I had done something wrong, and my dad grounded me to my room for the day. And I remember, yeah, I got up and I had breakfast, and then I had a room to myself, so I had some toys in the room. So I used to like playing with, if you remember, Lincoln Logs and Matchbox toys, because, you know, we didn't have computers and that kind of stuff, so you had to use your imagination. And so, like, I used to love playing with Lincoln Logs. I'd make little log houses and take my Matchbox cars and make garages for them. And, you know, so I remember in my bedroom doing that for a while. And I used to like read. Well, I still like to read, but I like to read books. And I used to have, you know, kids' novels that I read. So I remember that day I played with my Lincoln Logs. I think I even played with Tinker Toys that day. I read some book. I think I just laid on my bed and started sealing for a while. And I looked at the clock, and it was like 10 o'clock in the morning. And it was like, oh my goodness, I guess I wait until dad gets home at 5. And that was like the longest day. I mean, it took forever. And so then I got thinking about it, and then there's other days where, you know, maybe you're going to an amusement park. And again, keep it in mind as a kid, right? Because we want to keep the relative scale. So I remember going to like amusement park. And you're running around and playing all day long. And the next thing you know, your mom's yelling, hey, it's time to leave. You're like, can't be. We just got here. Like, the time just flew by so fast. And it's like, what's the difference? Well, then back to, you know, the older you get, the faster time flies by. Well, I remember, you know, like, in, again, school age, I remember the summer seemed like they were forever long. It seemed like just outside playing, and my mom used to take us, there was a little lake near our house, and we used to go swimming, and just had a great time during the summers. But it just seemed like the summers were so long, and then you'd get to the school year, and of course, they were way longer. But it just seemed like you had lots of time to do things. But now as an adult, you know, I remember, so Hannah that just sang, she's my oldest daughter. She's getting ready to go to college this fall. And I remember when she was born, and it seemed like, you know, well, you know, how most of you that have kids, you know, you have the baby and you're living life. And all of a sudden, I woke up one day, and it was her sixth birthday. And I was like, how did she get to six? It seems like she was just born last year. And now we are here, we are, she's 18, and she's getting ready to go to college. And it's like, how did time go by so fast? I mean, it's crazy. And so then, just to kind of think about this a little bit more, I've got something that I want to do. Now, this may be a good thing. This may be a really bad idea. But I've got an alarm on my clock, and I'm going to set it for 1 minute. Just 60 seconds. And we're just going to wait for 60 seconds. All right? Here we go. Hate to tell you, it's only been 30 seconds. Did that not seem like an eternity? There are some of you that can't stand silence, that just bothered you to death. But that was like a long minute. I mean, how did... Now I can't stop it. But why is the alarm still going off? There we go. So the thing is, that minute seemed like forever. And there's other times in our life where we got something to do, and it's like the minutes go by so fast, and you're like, wait a minute. And just the contrast, and I know it's not the same, but so that was the minute. And there's times where I reset it for 60 seconds. Or excuse me. Yeah, it'd be the same, right? Minute, 60 seconds. I reset it for 1 second. And sometimes this... I mean, that was quick. And so what's the difference? You know, and really, the reason I wanted to talk about time was just to kind of think about, as we go through life, we have this time that God's given us. And I want to go and I want to look at this point, at this time, at James chapter 4. And I want to read, and this is really what I want to talk about this morning, with regards to time. And I want to read this, and I'm going to read through it twice. And if you're following along, you'll notice that the first time I read through this passage, I'm going to skip part of one of the verses. And we're going to come back to it. And that's really what I want to talk about. So James chapter 4, starting in verse 13. And so for those of you that maybe don't know your Bible as well, so James was the brother of Jesus. James in chapter 4 is writing to the church, and he's basically rebuking worldliness. He's talking about the things going on in the world and why they're wrong. And in verses 13 through 15, 16, 17, he's talking about basically people being presumptuous with their time. And he's talking to people and he's saying, well, you know, you say, well, we're going to go to this city and we're going to earn some money and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But what James says is really what you ought to say, if God will allow me, I'm going to do this or do that. Recognizing the fact that it's God that gives us each day. It's God that gives us each breath. And that we shouldn't be presumptuous with the time that God has given us. And so James is rebuking, but there's a phrase in the middle of this that we're going to focus in on in just a minute. So let me read this. So James says, and starting in verse 13, he says, "Go to now, ye that say." So he's saying, you people that say, "Today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." So he's saying, you people, you say, well, we're going to go to a city and we're going to earn all this money and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But he's saying, here's what you really should say, skipping down to verse 15. He says, "For what you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You know, just a side comment, that's probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it humbles us. Because him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. I mean, stop and think about that. Stop and think about every day. If you think you're a pretty good person, stop and think about every day when you choose not to do something that you know you should do. You know you should hold that door for that person. You know you should help somebody carry their bags in. You know you should go visit the neighbors. You know you should, God's laid it on your heart to send Sarah a card, and you choose not to do it. You're sinning. Because you know what's right. You know what you should be doing, and you're not doing it. It's the sin of omission. And this sermon isn't even about that. It's just every time I read that verse, I have to think about all of the things that we do wrong by not doing right. Because we just choose not to do the right that we should be doing. But I want to back up and look at verse 14. And I want you to notice that James makes a statement in there. James says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." See, the Bible says that our life is like a vapor. And I have an illustration here that hopefully this will work. So this is one of those little vapor diffuser things. And hopefully if everything works well, we're going to get a vapor. Can you all see that? Maybe. There's a little vapor coming out of the top of this. And the Bible says that our life is like a vapor. And I would even say that this even illustrates our life of a vapor, is the fact that I'm sure some of you, especially in the front row, can see it. We saw it earlier this morning. But I would say that maybe some of you can't see it. And if you stop and think about our life being a vapor, there are some people that don't see our life. There are some people that don't see that we even existed. Doesn't mean we didn't exist. It just means that some people don't see us. But there's this vapor, and if you can see it, it's starting here, and for the most part, it's getting to about right here. And it's just a little vapor, and it's gone. The Bible says our life is like this vapor. It's here for a little bit, and it's gone. And I got thinking about that, and I got thinking about the fact, and this is where I don't want this to be a depressing or discouraging message, because it's not about the fact that our life is a vapor. It's about the fact that God gives us a vapor and that God gives us opportunities within that vapor. The title of my sermon this morning is "A Vapor Full of Opportunities." See, this vapor that God gives us, He gives us a bunch of opportunities within this vapor. And the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:8, he says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." So if you think about the fact that one of our days is like 1,000 years with the Lord, and one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, this vapor, even though that it's a short period of time, if we take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us to during this vapor, and we're gonna talk about three categories of opportunities that God gives us in this vapor, and we're gonna talk about those three opportunities that we get during this vapor. And again, the thing is I want to encourage you, I want to motivate you, knowing that we only have a vapor, let's not waste it. Let's take advantage of it. God has given this precious gift to us. Let's utilize it. Now, so where in the world did Adam come in? Why did we read Genesis? Well, when I was thinking about this vapor that we have and what God wants for us and what God has for us, I got thinking about where God originally created man. He created Adam and put him in the garden. And what did God give to Adam, and what did God expect from Adam? Well, he gave him life. He gave him some work to do. He gave him a commandment so that Adam could prove his love and his obedience to God. And I was thinking about it, and in a way, God gave Adam a reward before he earned it. I mean, stop and think about it. Adam got the opportunity to live in the Garden of Eden, the perfect place. He got the fellowship with God. What more could you want? But of course, Adam lost it. And when we get later in, we won't lose our rewards, but we have the opportunity to learn them, to earn them. So as I think about the vapor, and I think about the opportunities that God gives us, the first and most important opportunity that God gives to us is the opportunity to trust Him. The opportunity for us, because as the seed of Adam, we are born with sin. We are born with a sin nature. We are born spiritually dead, separated from God. And if you were in Sunday school this morning, we talked about death, right? What is death? Well, death is separation. Physical death is the separation of our body from our spirit. And then we have spiritual death, which is the separation of our spirit from God. So when we're born spiritually dead. We're born separated from God because we're born with a sin nature. We're born with that inherited nature from Adam that separates us from God, keeps us from Him. But God gives us, in John 6, 28, 29, the Bible says, "Then said they unto Him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, What is the work of God? That ye believe on Him whom He hath sent." And of course, who did God send? He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. God gives us the opportunity to put our faith and trust in Him. God gives us the opportunity to become a child of God. God gives us the opportunity to spend all of eternity in heaven with Him. This is the most important part of the vapor that we have. We have a short time. The Bible says that the days of man are 70, 70 years. For the most part, God gives us 70 years. But the thing of it is we don't know our time. We don't know the days of this life. We have examples around this church of people that went young. We have examples of the church that got to go way past 70. We don't know when our vapor's over. But God gives us this time to figure out that we're sinners, to figure out that without Him, we're bound for a place called hell, bound for a place called the lake of fire. And God gives us this opportunity to put our faith and trust in Him. God gives us this opportunity. And this is the most important opportunity. If we don't take advantage of this opportunity, then the other ones that He gives us, they're wasted. Because without this one, we don't get to spend eternity with Him. Without Him, we don't get to go to heaven. Without Him. And the thing of it is, you know, the Bible says, and we've talked about that we're all sinners. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We've all sinned. And even if we wouldn't have sinned, we were born with a sin nature. And we read the verse earlier, James 4:17. It says, him that knoweth to good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I mean, right there, if you don't think you've done anything bad, there's probably times where you didn't do something good that you should have done. And that's sin too. The Bible says not putting faith in God is sin. So there's lots of ways that we're sinners. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's only through our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, his blood shed for our sins, is the only way we get to heaven. It's the only way we can be redeemed. It's the only way that we can get ourselves to be in the presence of the Lord and spend all of eternity with him. And the sad part is there's so many people that God has given them the opportunity. God's given them their vapor, their time here on earth, and they've chosen to reject God. They've chosen, I don't need God, or maybe, you know, maybe they say, well, I'll do that later, or there's so many excuses. But ultimately, without taking advantage of this opportunity that God has given to them, they're lost and bound for a lake of fire. Now, the second opportunity that God gives us. So if you've taken advantage of the first opportunity, then there's basically two other opportunities, as I see it, that God gives us as Christians. And the next opportunity is to show God that we love him. For you to show God that you love him. You know, God put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he gave them that one commandment. You can eat of any tree but that one. Gave Adam the opportunity to show that he loved him. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? Adam had one commandment. Don't eat of the tree. That's all he had to do. Unfortunately, the scriptures are full of people that didn't choose God. If you stop and think about it, Eve chose the tree. She was deceived, the Bible says. Adam, he knew what he was doing. He chose Eve over God. When the Bible says that Eve gave Adam the fruit, Adam knew what he was doing. He knew that what he was doing was wrong, but he, in his heart, he decided he couldn't live without Eve, and he gave up God for her. Now, he didn't die that day physically, but spiritually he did, because he lost his fellowship with God. He was separated from the God that created him. He was kicked out of the Garden of Eden. He had to go work by the sweat of his brow. He had to go provide for his family. And, you know, God gave them the opportunity after that. If you remember Cain and Abel, they were supposed to bring an offering to God. They were supposed to show God that they loved him. So that God still gave them the opportunity, but Adam chose Eve over God. Last weekend, when Brother Danford was here, he talked about Abraham and Isaac, and how God told Abraham, take Isaac, thine only son of promise, to a mountain where I'm going to show you, and you're going to sacrifice him to me. Abraham chose God over his son. Amen. He went and did, if you remember the story, he went and he got his son all the way to the point where he was bound and laying on the altar and the knife raised to sacrifice his son. And God called out and said, hold on, Adam, or Abraham. Hold on, Abraham. I know that you love me. Stop right there. And God provided the true sacrifice. But Abraham proved probably more to himself than to God, because God knows everything, right? But proved more, well, and you stop and think about it, proved to the angels, proved to the devil, right? Remember Job and the devil, and God said, hey, Lucifer, look at my servant Job. And Lucifer's like, well, yeah, you got a hedge about him, and you give him all the wealth and health and all that kind of stuff, and if you took it all away, he wouldn't still serve you. And God says, okay, Lucifer, go ahead. Take it all away. And he took everything away, and yet Job still worshiped God, still served God. Job still proved to God that he loved him, even in the circumstance that God allowed him to be placed into. Amen. Job was able to show. We have the opportunity to show God here on earth that we love him by keeping his commandments, by doing those things that he's commanded us to do. If you think about it, there's going to come a day when that opportunity is gone. In Isaiah 45:23, Isaiah prophesied, he said, every knee will bow to Jesus and tongue confess. Paul quoted this in Romans 14:11 and then in Philippians 2:10-11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, there's going to come a day when Jesus is going to be on the throne and every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. It doesn't matter whether you love him or not, you're going to bow. So bowing at that point in time isn't going to prove anything because everybody's doing it. But right now, you have free will to show God that you love him, that you want to keep his commandments, that you're going to do the things that he's commanded you to do. Just like Adam had the opportunity to not eat of one tree, you know, God's given us, you know, we have the Ten Commandments. If you stop and think about it, well, not even think about it. If you look in Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40, it says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus answered unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Really, God's given us two commandments. Love him, love your neighbor. Everything else should take care of itself if you do those two commandments. But God's given us this opportunity, this vapor of time, because when our vapor's gone, the opportunity's over. Because when we're in heaven, if you're saved and you took advantage of the first opportunity and you're in heaven, you don't need faith anymore. The Bible says your faith becomes sight. You're going to see Jesus. You won't have to have faith that he exists. You won't have to have faith that he died on the cross because you'll see it. But we only have this vapor that God has given us now to prove him how much we love him. Now is the time to show him how much we love him, to show him that we're going to keep his commandments, to show him that we're going to do the things that he's asked us to do. Now's the time. So God's given us the opportunity to believe on him. God has given us the opportunity to obey him, to show our love towards him. And the third one is God has given us the opportunity to earn rewards in heaven. You know, when we die, there's only one thing we can take to heaven with us. That's the people we lead to Christ. As we lead others to Christ, they'll be in heaven with us. Other than that, we don't get to take anything with us. There is nothing on this earth that we get to take to heaven with us. But God says there are opportunities for us to earn rewards in heaven. Revelations 22:12 says, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward, so he's got a reward, is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. See, we have the opportunity on this earth to work for God, to earn rewards in heaven. God gives us this opportunity. We have the opportunity. In the Bible, it says in 1 Corinthians 3:13 and 14, it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he build thereon, he shall receive a reward. See, we have a reward that we can earn. In the Bible, it talks about at least five different crowns that we can earn while we're here on earth. Now, I truly don't believe the crowns are to exalt us. I believe this is the reason God gives us opportunities to earn crowns here on earth. We don't get the crowns here, we get them up there. But in Revelations 4, 9 through 11, it says, and 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure, see here, for Thy pleasure they are created. See, God created us for his pleasure. And stop and think about it. If you have a crown and you're before the throne of God and God's sitting there on the throne, and while you've had the opportunity here on earth, you took the opportunity to earn a reward so that when you get to heaven, you have the opportunity to take that crown off and throw it before his feet to show him that you love him, that while you on earth, you did something for him. You took the opportunity that he gave you so that you could worship him in heaven. Now, we're going to be able to worship him, but I mean, stop and think about the pleasure of that. As parents, don't we pleasure when our children do things for us? When they do right and then are able to do something back because of the right that they did, doesn't that put pleasure in your heart? I know it does mine. Imagine our Heavenly Father and our opportunity to show him here that we love him, and then when we get to heaven, we can say, see, look, I did this for you, and I did it because I want to worship and love you. God gives us that opportunity now, because I'll tell you what, when we get to heaven, that opportunity is over. We have the opportunity now. See, this is where I want to motivate you, encourage you. If you're still breathing here this morning, hopefully everybody is, if you're still breathing, your vapor hasn't ended. You still have the opportunity to earn rewards. You still have the opportunity to show him you love him. And you know what? The thing is, just like our children do things wrong and disappoint us, as God's child, we're going to do things wrong. We're going to disappoint him. But we still have, if we're still breathing, if our vapor is still existing, we still have the opportunity to show him we love him. Yeah, we fell down. The Bible says he'll lift us back up. Yeah, we do things wrong, but we still have the opportunity to do things right. We still have the opportunity as long as we have this breath. You know, we don't know when this vapor is going to end. We talked about this a little bit ago. You know, we talked about the fact that there's reminders in this church. There's pictures back on the wall of a young man named Corey and Grant that died in their early 20s, late teens. They loved the bus. They loved working on the bus. They ran the bus route. And their memory is still alive because of the bus that we run and because of the plaque on the back. Now, one of the things that I wanted to point out was this little vapor thing, it's actually got a scent to it. And I can turn this off, I think, and the vapor's going to cease. It's going to quit, and the vapor's over. But if you were to come up here, there's a peppermint scent. I can still smell evidence of the vapor that was here. Our life, when it's over, it has an influence that can be left behind. Corey and Grant leave a legacy. Every time we pick up a kid, we have the college scholarship in their memory to keep their memory alive, to keep their influence alive. We've got a plaque over here of a young man named Joey Strong that gave his life serving our country. As long as we have the freedoms that we get to enjoy, his memory is still here. What his sacrifice wasn't in vain. You know, they were young men that they weren't expecting their vapor to be over. We've got this yesterday. I had to go to the funeral of one of my best friends from college. He was 49 years old, died of brain cancer. Been struggling with it for 3 years. He didn't know his life was going to be over young. He didn't get to the 70. He didn't make it to 70. And then just a few weeks ago, Brother Fred Tansel passed, and I don't remember exactly how old he was, but he was well beyond 70. But his vapor ended. But his influence hasn't. And the thing of it is we don't know when our vapor is going to end. But while we have breath, God gives us the opportunity to put our faith and trust in him, so that we can spend all of eternity with him as opposed to the lake of fire. While our vapor exists, God gives us the opportunity to show him that because of our free will, we love him. It's not forced. And God gives us the opportunity to serve him, to earn rewards, so that when we get to heaven, we can show him how much we loved him when we were here on earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this message. Lord, I truly do pray that it would be an encouragement and a motivator for each person that hears this message. I know it was for me, Lord, that they would take advantage of the opportunities that you give us daily to believe on you, to show you that we love you, to show you and to earn rewards that you want us to. I forgot to mention in my message, but as we think about, with heads still bowed and eyes still closed, as we think about this time, have you ever missed out on an opportunity because you weren't aware of it? For those, maybe it was a sale that ended on a certain day. Maybe it was a graduation party that was only during a certain time and you thought it was the next day. Maybe it was some other event that was only for a certain period of time and you missed out on something good because either you weren't aware of when it ended or you forgot or you just got too busy doing other things. I don't want that to be the case with this. It's too important. We don't know when our vapor is going to end, so that means we need to take care of business today. Maybe there's somebody in here today that says, Brother Aaron, I've never even taken advantage of the opportunity to trust Christ. I've never heard before the fact that I was a sinner. I've never heard the fact that I'm going to go to hell because of my sin. If that's you today, I would love to pray for you. We can show you from God's Word. We can have somebody go to the side room and show you from God's Word how you can know for sure that heaven's going to be your home. If that's you today, if you say, Brother Aaron, I don't know for sure that heaven's going to be my home. I've never taken advantage of that first opportunity that you talked about. If that's you today and you would like to learn how you can know for sure that heaven's going to be your home, if you'd slip your hand up, I'd love to pray for you. I can have somebody show you. All right, I don't see any hands going up, so I'm assuming that means that everybody in here has accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And if that's you this morning, then I encourage you, stop and think about the opportunity that God has given you to show him you love him, to show him to earn rewards. If that's you, I would encourage you. Maybe today you say, I need to change something in my life. I've not been living the life that he wants me to live. I'd encourage you, the altars are open. There's already a few up here praying. I'd encourage you, maybe this morning you just want to come up and, as Brother Danford taught last week, come prostrate yourself before the Lord and show him and worship him. Whatever it may be, I would encourage you to use the altar. Lord, again, I thank you so much for this opportunity that you give us to worship and to serve you. I pray that you'd use this to encourage and to motivate. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Brian, where